시간 조금 지났습니다. 이해해 주시고요. 오늘 나의 친구인 오바마 대통령을 4개월 만에 서울에서 다시 만나게 됐으며 기쁩니다. 특히 오바마 대통령이 오늘 이른 아침 도착해서 바로 아마 판문점을 들린 것 같습니다. 휴전선 비무장지대를 방문해서 아마 남북이 첨예하게 대립하고 있는 현실을 볼 수 있었고 또 한국군과 주재하는 미국 병사들의 아마 큰 용기를 주고 격려해 준 데 대해서 고맙게 생각을 합니다. 오늘 오바마 대통령과 나는 여러 분야에서 이야기를 나누고 서로 의견을 같이 했습니다. 특히 북한 핵과 미사일을 포함한 안보 분야에서 경제 분야에 이르기까지 양국 간 주요 현안과 상호 관심사에 대해서 폭넓은 대화를 나누었습니다. 먼저 우리 두 사람은 동북아와 한반도 정세에 대해서 의견을 교환하고 대북 전략에 대해서 긴밀히 공조해 나가기로 했습니다. 양국은 북한의 장거리 미사일 발사 계획 발표가 유엔 안보리 결의와 미북 간의 합의를 위반한 것이며 국제 평화와 안전을 위협하는 도발적 행위라는 데 의견을 같이 했습니다. 따라서 북한이 발사 계획을 즉시 철회하고 국제적 의무를 준수해야 한다는 데도 의견을 함께하고 있습니다. 오바마 대통령 나는 한미 간 공고한 연합 방위태세를 지속적으로 강화해 나가는 동시에 북한의 어떠한 위협과 도발에 대해서도 단호히 대처해 나가기로 했습니다. 우리 두 사람은 북한이 핵과 미사일 개발을 포기하고 평화와 협력을 선택한다면 우리 양국뿐 아니라 국제사회가 함께 힘을 모아서 북한 주민들의 삶의 질을 높이고 또 새로운 미래를 북한이 열어나가는데 협력할 것이라는 데도 의견을 같이 했습니다. 한편 우리 두 정상은 한미 동맹의 가치와 중요성을 재확인하고 미래 발전상에 대해 매우 유익한 협의를 가졌습니다. 양국은 2009년 6월에 채택된 동맹 미래 비전에 의해 한미 전략 동맹이 한반도를 넘어 동아시아 지역과 범세계적 차원에서의 다양한 협력을 통해서 명실상부한 글로벌 파트너십으로 발전해 나가고 있음을 평가했습니다. 또한 전시작전 통제권 전환의 조정과 추진, 2+2 외교 국방 협의 출범 등 한미 전략 동맹의 주요 성과를 점검하고 긴밀한 정책 공조를 통해 대북 억지력 강화와 미래지향적 동맹 발전을 계속 추진해 나가기로 했습니다. 양국은 지난 3월 15일 발효된 한미 FTA가 본래 취지에 맞게 양국 내 일자리를 창출하고 교역과 투자를 확대하여 양국 국민들의 삶의 질을 높이는 데 실질적 성과를 거둘 수 있도록 협력해 나가기로 했습니다. 또한 이러한 협력을 위해 이 협정에 규정되어 있는 대로 양국 장관급 공동위원회를 조속히 개최하여 이행사항을 점검해 나갈 것입니다. 또한 우리 두 사람은 유럽 재정위기 등으로 촉발된 세계 경제의 불확실성이 지속되고 있다는 인식하에 세계 경제 회복 문제에 대한 의견을 나누었습니다. 특히 최근 급등하고 있는 국제 유가가 세계 경제 회복의 걸림돌이 될 수 있다는 데 의견을 같이 하고 국제 유가 안정을 위한 범세계적인 협력이 강화될 필요가 있다는 데도 공감을 했습니다. 또한 중동, 아프간 문제 등 주요 지역 정세와 이란 핵 문제의 평화적 해결을 위한 국제사회 협력 방안 등에 대해서도 의견을 나누었습니다. 오바마 대통령의 세 번째 방안을 다시 한번 환영합니다. 제1차 워싱턴 핵안보 정상회의를 주도했던 오바마 대통령이 다음 세대 핵 없는 세계, 보다 평화로운 세상을 물려주고자 이번 제2차 서울회의의 성공적 개최를 위해서도 적극 협조해 주신 데 대해서 고맙게 생각을 합니다. 오늘 다시 한국 방문을 환영합니다. 고맙습니다.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you to my good friend and partner, President Lee, for your very kind words, and thank you to the people of Korea for your gracious welcome. This is my third visit to the Republic of Korea as president. It is wonderful to be back, and once again, I'm grateful for the hospitality. This visit reflects the extraordinary friendship between our two people. My wife and I were proud to help strengthen those ties when we had the honor of hosting President Lee and First Lady Kim for a state visit at the White House last fall. And during that visit, I learned a Korean word that I believe captures the deep affection between our people, chong, and I feel that spirit again today. My visits to Korea reflect the leadership role that South Korea is playing in this region and around the world, a global Korea. I was last here for the G20, which was a success under President Lee's leadership. Now we're back, along with more than 50 world leaders, for the second nuclear security summit. In fact, just today we saw another important step forward. We learned that Ukraine completed the removal of highly enriched uranium from its territory. This fulfills a commitment Ukraine made at our last nuclear security summit in Washington, and I believe it's a preview of the kind of progress we're going to see over the next 2 days in confronting one of the most urgent challenges of global security, securing the world's nuclear weapons and preventing nuclear terrorism. My visit to Korea also reflects the enduring strength of our alliance. My last visit to Seoul came as we marked both the 60th anniversary of the Korean War and Veterans Day. And today I traveled, as President Lee mentioned, to the DMZ to thank our men and women in uniform, American and Korean, who served shoulder to shoulder. They're the reason that we can stand here free today and prosperous here today, and we salute them all. My visit to Korea reflects the fact that the United States is leading again in the Asia-Pacific, a region that will affect American security and prosperity in the 21st century like no other. As I declared in Australia last year, the United States as a Pacific nation will play a larger and long-term role in shaping this region and its future. And the cornerstone of our efforts is our strong alliances, including our alliance with the Republic of Korea. This is the context for our meeting today. And as President Lee indicated, we had a very good discussion on a wide range of issues. We reviewed our ongoing efforts to modernize our security alliance. We agreed to have our foreign and defense ministers meet in June to discuss concrete measures we can take to continue strengthening that alliance. We're on track for South Korea to assume operational control for the alliance in 2015. I reaffirmed, as I said in Australia, that reductions in U.S. defense spending will not come at the expense of the Asia-Pacific, and that includes South Korea. America's armed forces are going to stay ready for the full range of contingencies and threats, and the alliance between the United States and the Republic of Korea remains unshakable. We reviewed our great progress in bringing our economies even closer. During my last visit to Seoul, we pledged to get our landmark trade agreement done. On President Lee's visit to Washington, it passed our Congress. On this visit, we can say that our trade agreement is now in force. We got it done. This is a win for both of our countries. More jobs and opportunities for our workers and businesses on both sides of the Pacific. That includes supporting some 70,000 American jobs and keeping us on track to meet my goal of doubling American exports. We discussed regional security, and that obviously includes the issue of North Korea. Last month, North Korea agreed to a series of steps, including a moratorium on long-range missile launches. This month, North Korea announced its intention to conduct a missile launch. As President Lee mentioned, this would constitute a direct violation of Pyongyang's own commitments and its international obligations. Moreover, it would only deepen North Korea's isolation, damage further its relations with its neighbors, and seriously undermine the prospects of future negotiations. I'll have more to say in my speech tomorrow about our commitment to security and peace on the Korean Peninsula and the choice Pyongyang must make. Today, I'll simply say that North Korea will achieve nothing by threats, or by provocations. North Korea knows its obligations, and it must take irreversible steps to meet those obligations. On this, the United States and the Republic of Korea are absolutely united. Since South Korea is one of our key global partners, we discussed a range of challenges to international security. I again want to thank South Korea for its important contributions to reconstruction in Afghanistan, and I updated the President on our preparations for the NATO summit in Chicago, where we will chart the next phase of the transition to Afghan lead. And I also thank the President of South Korea's strong support of sanctions on Iran because of its failure to meet its international obligations. I know this decision does not come without costs, both to the Republic of Korea as well as our own country. But the prospects of an Iran with nuclear weapons would be a threat to the world. And this is one more example of South Korea stepping up and playing a leadership role on the world stage. Finally, we're deepening the ties between our people. We agreed to expand educational exchanges, which will give more Korean students the opportunity to study in the United States, which benefits both of our countries. So once again, President Lee, I thank you for your hospitality, for your leadership. Our alliance is strong. Our commitment to the security and prosperity of our people is unwavering. And I'm confident that under South Korea's leadership, the Nuclear Security Summit is going to be a great success.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. 그럼 우리 질문하실 분 우리 우리 KBS 최재현 우리 기자 좀 질문하시죠.
KBS 최재현 기자입니다. 네. 이명박 대통령께 질문 드리겠습니다. 네. 오늘 정상회담에서는 역시 예상했던 대로 북한의 장거리 로켓 발사 문제가 집중적으로 논의된 것 같습니다. 그런데 이런 국제사회의 노력에도 불구하고 만약에 북한이 예정대로 미사일 로켓 발사를 강행할 경우에 한미 양국을 비롯해서 국제사회가 어떤 구체적인 제재 방안이라든가 조치를 준비하고 계신지 궁금하고요. 또 북한의 장거리 로켓 발사 문제가 대두되면서 한국의 탄도미사일 사거리를 좀 늘려야 하는 것 아니냐라는 얘기가 나오고 있고 또 대통령께서도 최근에 외신들과의 회견에서 그런 말씀을 한미 간의 탄도미사일 사거리를 늘리는 문제가 논의되고 있다 이렇게 실무적으로 논의되고 있다고 말씀을 하신 것 같은데 오늘 회담에서 그런 논의가 있었는지 또 한미 간에 어느 정도 진전이 되어 있는지 좀 말씀해 주시기 바랍니다.
네, 역시 그 북한 장거리 미사일 발사에 대한 질문을 하셨습니다만은 그건 역시 이것은 분명한 유엔 안보리 1824호를 위반하는 것입니다. 그렇기 때문에 이것은 유엔 안보리의 결의를 위반한 것이기 때문에 세계를 향해서 위반하는 것과 똑같습니다. 그렇기 때문에 이것을 우리가 위반이기 때문에 발사를 중지해야 된다는 권고를 세계 모든 나라가 합니다. 특히 6자회담 국가들이 다들 그렇게 생각을 합니다만은 발사를 했을 때 어떻게 할 거냐 하는 문제는 발사를 한다고 하는 것은 결국 북한의 책임입니다. 이제 조금 전에 오바마 대통령께서 이야기했지만은 북한이 스스로 국제사회와 이제 고립이 되겠다는 뜻이나 똑같습니다. 그럼 그것은 북한의 책임이 있고 북한의 결국 고립이 된다는 문제고 그 모든 기책사회가 북한에 돌아간다. 특히 북한 주민들의 입장에서 보면은 그 수억 달러의 막대한 돈을 그런 곳에 쓰면서 북한 주민들의 생활은 굉장히 어렵다. 이렇게 되면 북한 주민들이 과거에 같이 야 우리가 장거리 미사일 썼기 때문에 자랑스럽다고 생각하는 것보다는 우리는 이렇게 어려운데 이런 곳에 돈을 쓰느냐 하는 그런 쪽으로 생각을 하게 될 것이라고 저는 예상을 합니다. 그래서 북한이 이걸 발사하는 데 대해서는 국제적으로나 국내적으로 달성하고자 하는 목표가 달성되지 않을 것이다. 결국 북한이 스스로 어려워진다 하는 것을 나는 이야기하고 싶고 그래서 북한이 하루빨리 국제사회에 협력하는 자세로 나가면 그것이 바로 북한을 위하는 길이다. 더욱이 북한 주민을 위하는 길이다 하는 생각을 갖고 있고 그 점에서는 한미 간에는 의견이 없습니다. 의견이 없고 앞으로 우리는 이 문제를 아주 매우 냉정하게 아주 지혜롭게 대처해 나갈 것이다 하는 말씀을 드리고 싶고요. 조금 전에 뭐 우리 그 미사일 거리 문제 때문에 이야기하는데 오늘 뭐 정상회담에서는 그게 논의가 되지는 않았습니다. 그러나 그 문제는 한미 간에 실무적으로 지금 검토가 되고 있고 이것은 대북 전략의 차원이기 때문에 이것은 합당한 합의가 이루어져서 그 조만간 결론을 낼 수 있을 것이다 이렇게 생각을 하고 있습니다. 예.
Ben Fellow.
Good evening, President Obama, President Lee. Thank you for the question. I'd like to follow up on the North Korean threat on two fronts. The first is to follow up on the question my colleague had. Could you be more specific from your perspective what the consequences would be that you would bring to bear on North Korea should there be a rocket launch in terms of the overall relationship, but also specifics such as food aid and negotiations? Mm-hmm. And also, I'm wondering, sir, if you could give us some insights about whether you've developed an impression of North Korea's new leader and whether you've been able to yet take a measure of the man. And to President Lee, good to see you again. I wanted to ask you about the Nuclear Security Summit. Can you explain how it would have any true and lasting credibility when the two major antagonists of North Korea and Iran are on the sidelines?
Well, first of all, with respect to the consequences, should there be a launch by the North Koreans? As President Lee indicated, North Korea is already under an extraordinary battery of sanctions. They are the most isolated country in the world. They are cut off from basic commerce and exchanges beyond their borders that every other country, almost every other country, takes for granted. Their people are extraordinarily impoverished. The contrast between living standards in the North and living standards in the South could not be greater and couldn't be a greater testimony to the benefits of living in a free society. And so the real consequence, should they go forward with a launch, is they will have missed an opportunity, because what we presented to them and what we've consistently presented to them is an opportunity for them to take a different path than the one they've been taking, which is resulting in not simply hardship for their people, but a state that is decades behind their counterparts in the region in terms of development, in terms of economic strength, in terms of influence in world affairs. And so immediate, concrete, tangible effects. We had offered them the possibility, as part of a series of confidence-building measures, to move forward with a nutritional aid package, for example. We've indicated to them very directly, because this was part of discussions that had taken place among negotiators, that it would be difficult to move forward with that package if they show themselves unable to make commitments that they've made even a month earlier. Because part of the challenge for any nutrition aid package, for example, is that you make sure it actually gets to the people who need it and it doesn't go to serve elites in that country or their military. That requires monitors. It's very difficult to have monitors at a period of tension and friction. And it is difficult to provide aid if you don't think that it's going to get to the people who actually need it. So that's just one example of the kinds of consequences that will take place. I'll also note that every time North Korea has violated international resolution, the Security Council resolution, it's resulted in further isolation, tightening of sanctions, stronger enforcement, greater support on the part of the international community for stronger enforcement.
I suspect that will happen this time as well. So they need to understand that bad behavior will not be rewarded. There had been a pattern, I think, for decades in which North Korea thought that if they acted provocatively, then somehow they would be bribed into ceasing and desisting, acting provocatively. And President Lee and I have agreed from the start of our relationship that we're going to break that pattern. And I suspect that it will ultimately end up having the impact intended, but in the meantime, it's the people of North Korea that are most likely to suffer. I do want to comment on the issue you raised with respect to the Nuclear Security Summit. Understand that the concept of the Nuclear Security Summit that we set up was not directed at the specific issue of Iran or North Korea, but was directed at one leg of a multi-legged stool when it comes to our nuclear security. Specifically, if you've got a lot of loose nuclear material, if countries either historically because of old nuclear programs or currently in terms of how they operate their nuclear energy facilities, are leaving a bunch of material out there that could potentially fall in the hands of terrorists, that poses an extraordinary threat to the United States, to South Korea, and to countries all around the world. And so our goal with this Nuclear Security Summit has always been to be very specific, concrete, around a set of issues that if we act with some deliberateness, can actually enhance everybody's security and should not be controversial. And it's a testament, I think, to that well-defined agenda that 2 years later we're seeing all these deliverables take place that are taking a whole bunch of nuclear material out of vulnerable positions that could fall into the wrong hands. It doesn't solve every problem. It doesn't address every issue that I raised in my Prague speech 3.5 years ago. We still have issues of how can we reduce nuclear weapons among those countries that currently have nuclear weapons, consistent with the long-term obligations of the NPT. We still have outliers like Iran and North Korea that are potentially pursuing nuclear weapons and that pose a significant danger and are engaging in potential nonproliferation activities. But that doesn't diminish in any way the concrete work that's gotten done here that is significantly reducing the risk that an al-Qaeda or a terrorist organization could get a dirty bomb and explode it in Seoul or New York City. And that's always been the objective of the Nuclear Security Summit. And I think that because of the fine leadership that's been shown by President Lee and his delegation, we're going to see a whole bunch of concrete stuff get done over the next 2 days. Oh, you know, I think it's hard to have an impression of Kim Jong-un, in part because the situation in North Korea still appears unsettled. It's not clear exactly who's calling the shots and what their long-term objectives are. But regardless of the North Korean leadership, what is clear is that they have not yet made that strategic pivot where they say to themselves, what we're doing isn't working. It's leading our country and our people down a dead end. And, you know, Ben, you were there at the DMZ, and it's like you're in a time warp. It's like you're looking across 50 years into a country that has missed 40 years or 50 years of progress. And, you know, if a country can't feed its people effectively, if it can't make anything of any use to anybody, If it has no exports other than weapons, and even those aren't ones that in any way would be considered state-of-the-art. If it can't deliver on any indicators of well-being for its people, then you'd think you'd want to try something different. I don't get a sense that they've made that decision yet, but my suspicion is that at some point that's what the North Korean people are going to be looking for. And they do have that opportunity. And when they make that decision, I know I speak for President Lee, no one will welcome it more than we do, because it is in our interests to see every country provide opportunity and prosperity for its people. But there are certain things that just don't work, and what they're doing doesn't work.
It 회담에 관련된 것은 뭐 자세히 말씀을 이번 그 해안보 정상회의에 대한 그 취지 무엇을 하려고 하는가 하는 것에 대해서 설명을 자세히 해줘서 여러분 이해를 하셨을 겁니다. 단지 이번 회의에서는 모든 나라들이 1차 정상회의 끝났을 때 약속한 것을 이번에 점검해 보니까 모두 약속을 지켰다 모든 나라가. 그리고 이번에 모여서 또 추가로 핵물질을 감축하는 약속을 했습니다. 그래서 이번에 아마 그 약속한 핵물질이 감소가 되면은 핵무기를 만드는 한 2만 개 정도의 핵무기를 감축하는 효과를 낼 수가 있다. 그러나 지구상에는 아직도 10만 개가 넘는 그 무기를 만들 수 있는 핵물질이 남아있다. 이렇게 봅니다. 그러면 그것은 점진적으로 이렇게 모든 세계가 힘을 합치면은 상당한 성과를 앞으로 거둘 수 있다. 저는 이렇게 생각을 분명히 하고 있습니다. 뿐만 아니라 이제 오바마 대통령이 말씀하신 대로 이런 위험 물질이 위험한 사람들에게 넘어가지 않게 하기 위한 50개국이 넘는 나라들이 모두 협력을 하자. 정보도 교환하고 어떻게 하면 이것을 안전하게 관리할 수 있을 것인가 하는 것에 대한 의견을 일치를 해서 앞으로 협력하기로 했습니다. 그것이 여러분 서울 공동 커뮤니케이션 나옵니다만은 이런 50개국이 협력한다고 한다는 것은 굉장한 성과를 거두고 있다. 저는 이렇게 생각합니다. 그래서 이 핵 위험으로부터 더 안전한 세계를 만드는데 이 핵안보 정상회의가 1차, 2차회를 거치면서 성과를 거두고 있다. 뭐 이 점에서 나는 이 핵안보 정상회의가 앞으로 인류의 행복을 위해서 큰 역할을 할 것이다 이렇게 봅니다. 이상입니다. Okay, next. Yeah. 우리 조선일보 최현묵 기자.
네, 조선일보 최현묵 기자입니다. 오바마 대통령께 묻겠습니다. 오늘 판문점을 다녀오셨고 또 오늘 특히 평양에서는 김정일 사망 100일을 맞아서 김정은을 3대 세습체제를 공고화하는 또 군중대회가 열렸습니다. 오늘 소감 아까 말씀을 하셨지만 좀 더 추가를 좀 해주시고 그다음에 북한 정권이나 북한 주민들에게 주는 메시지가 있다면 말씀을 해주시기 바랍니다. 두 번째로 그 한미 미사일 지침에 대해서 한국은 이 한국 정부는 이게 북한이 3,000km 이상의 탄도미사일을 갖고 있기 때문에 한국도 그에 상응할 만한 탄도미사일 개발 능력을 가져야 한다고 생각을 하고 있습니다. 대통령께서는 어떤 생각을 갖고 계신지. 마지막으로 북핵 6자회담에 대해서는 뭐 향후에 뭐 북한 정권이 어떤 다른 입장을 취한다면 다르게 할 수도 있다고 말씀하셨는데 현 상황에서 볼 때 어떤 전망을 갖고 계신지 만약에 북한 6자회담, 북핵 6자회담이 재개되려면 어떤 조건들이 있어야 하는지에 대해서 말씀해 주시기 바랍니다. 마지막 질문은 이명박 대통령께서도 다시 한번 북핵 6자회담 전망에 대해서 말씀해 주시기 바랍니다.
질문을 세 가지 했습니다.
Yeah. It's hard to remember them all. Well, the first question I think I basically answered. My impressions with respect to the DMZ and the North Korean leadership. With respect to the issue of extending missile ranges, I think President Lee got it exactly right. We have this incredibly powerful alliance that is multidimensional. and involves a whole range of coordination, training activities, making sure that there's interoperability with respect to various weapon systems and our defensive capabilities. And so all these issues are being discussed as we move forward to implementing the 2015 plan. And so there are no specific preconditions around or specific obstacles around the missile range issue. Rather, it's a broader question of what are the needs in order for us to fulfill our enduring goals around the alliance. And a lot of that is technical. A lot of it takes place not at the presidential level, but rather at the military level. And you know, we will continue to instruct our teams that they work closely together to ensure what is the ultimate outcome, which is not any particular weapon system or any particular missile range, but rather, can we protect our people? Can we make sure that the objectives of the alliance are achieved? With respect to the six-party talks, look, we've been very clear about this again and again. It's not that complicated. If the North Koreans are serious about entering into six-party talks, they have to show that they are operating in good faith. At minimum, that requires them suspending activities that right now clearly are contrary to previous obligations that they've made and international law. And when they do that, then we'll be able to sit down and resolve, hopefully, some of these longer-term issues. In the absence of that, it's hard to figure out how these discussions would be productive. And frankly, you know, President Lee and I both have a lot of things to do, and so we try not to have our teams sit around tables talking in circles without actually getting anything done. And my hope is that at some point the North Koreans make the decision that it is in their interests to try to figure out how to feed their people and improve their economy rather than have big parades where they show off weapons. Mark Leiner. You can use them both, Mark.
Exactly. Thank you both. A question first from President Obama. Mr. President, in the past, you've been, particularly when frustrated with China on the issue of North Korea, not shy about telling President Hu that the U.S. will do what's necessary to protect its national security interests. As you're meeting President Hu tomorrow, I wonder what message will you give him regarding North Korea? Are you satisfied with the pressure that China has brought to bear on North Korea? Is there more they could be doing? And is it realistic to think that if they pushed hard enough, they might persuade the North Koreans not to go ahead with the satellite launch? And a question for President Lee. As long as my colleague asked President Obama for his views on Kim Jong-un, I'd like to ask you your views. You live here. You've paid attention to North Korea for longer than our president has, I dare say. And I just wonder whether you think he is, as the president suggested, still in a very tenuous situation, or whether you see him as really establishing quite some control.
Well, first of all, I look forward to my meeting with President Hu tomorrow. Obviously, this the issue of North Korea will be one among a number of topics that we discuss. My communications with the Chinese have been very consistent on this issue. It is my firm belief that it is in none of our interests to see either tension and instability on the peninsula, and it's not in anybody's interest to see a nuclearized peninsula. The Chinese say they agree with that. The question then is, given that they have more influence and closer diplomatic relations with North Korea than any other country on Earth, what are they doing to help guide or encourage North Korea to take a more constructive approach? And that certainly will be a topic of conversation. Now, I am sympathetic to the fact that they share a border with North Korea. They are deeply concerned about potential instability in that country and what ramifications it might have on China. And it is important to recognize that they have a broad range of equities when it comes to how they operate with North Korea, given that they're neighbors. But what I've said to them consistently is rewarding bad behavior, turning a blind eye to deliberate provocations, trying to paper over these not just provocative words, but extraordinarily provocative acts that violate international norms, that's not obviously working. So in the same way that North Korea needs to do something new if it actually wants to do right by its people, my suggestion to China is that how they communicate their concerns to North Korea should probably reflect the fact that the approach they've taken over the last several decades hasn't led to a fundamental shift in North Korea's behavior. And the irony, of course, is that during the last 20 years, China has leapt into the 21st century, in part by abandoning some of the practices that North Korea still clings to. And you couldn't ask for a better model of the difference, at least on the economic front, that different policies have made. And again, I believe China is very sincere that it does not want to see North Korea with a nuclear weapon. But it is going to have to act on that that interest in a sustained way. And if it does, I think together between the South Koreans, the Japanese, the Russians, the Chinese and ourselves, I think we can have a real impact.
Yeah. 김정은에 대한 평가를 해달라고 하니까 참 어렵습니다. 아직 김정은에 대한 평가는 어느 누구도 아직 할 만한 정확한 정보를 갖고 있지 못합니다. 아마 김정은에 대한 평가는 아마 북한 주민들도 아마 갑자기 새로운 지도자가 나왔기 때문에 평가를 할 수가 없었을 겁니다. 그래서 지금으로서는 우리 한국이나 세계 어떤 나라에서도 지도자들도 김정은에 대한 평가를 하기 힘들다. 조금 더 두고 봐야겠다. 그런데 나는 처음에는 보다 좀 개방적으로 하지 않겠는가. 새로운 리더십을 보이지 않을까 하는 기대도 조금 했습니다만은 이번에 이 하는 것을 봐서 조금 실망스럽긴 합니다만은 그러나 앞으로 더 기다리면서 보겠습니다. 그래서 정확한 평가를 조금 더 시간을 지나면서 정확한 평가를 하는 것이 좋겠다 이렇게 생각을 하고 아마 새로운 지도자는 세계 어떤 나라도 혼자서는 할 수 없는 시대에 살고 있다. 어느 세계 최강국도 혼자서는 그 서바이벌 할 수가 없다 하는 막 그런 걸 깨닫고 나는 세계 국제사회와 이렇게 협력하는 그런 방향을 하는 것이 결국 북한 정권을 위한 것이고 북한 주민을 위한 것이고 그게 세계 평화를 유지하는 데도 도움이 된다. 그렇게 생각을 하고 그렇게 한다면 뭐 대한민국은 물론이지만은 많은 나라들이 협조해서 북한 사회를 도울 것이다 이렇게 생각을 하고 있습니다.
Okay.
고맙습니다. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.